is Yusuf.
And this is
In Flight Entertainment. And hello, everyone out in the glorious U.S. of A. Now, we are recording.
And around the world.
Yes. Now, last week we did Idiocracy and Absolute Power, but we recorded those episodes prior to the actual election. So we are recording post outcome of the election.
Right. Yes. And we're also in November. Mm-hmm. And lots of kids start to apply to colleges in November here in the United States. So we figured we'd do some fun family college type movies.
Yeah, exactly. Something for the kids that's trying to go to school. Some of the crazy fictional calamity that may ensue if you try to pursue a college or a university. And the movie that we're reviewing today is one of those scenarios of calamity and chaos.
Right. Sometimes when you apply to college, it's not all in your hands. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to rely on other people and they may fuck up your life. Excuse the French. And so we are starting this week with Orange County, mm-hmm. the 2002 movie all about a guidance counselor who mistakenly sends the wrong transcripts to the college of a kid's choice.
Yes. Now, this film stars Tom Hanks' boy, Colin Hanks. Jack Black. When I rewatch this, I forget how many people's in this movie. It's like,
the cast is amazing.
Yeah, like we got Catherine O'Hara, John Lithgow, Lily Tomlin. Chevy Chase is in there for a hot second. Kevin Kline. It's like, man, the producer really pulled out that Rolodex and got these people in this movie.
I mean, the number of favors that had to be called in for this movie are amazing.
Yeah. But I will say to that point, it probably wasn't a hard thing to do to wrangle these actors, considering who the director's father is. So this movie is directed by Jake Kasdan.
Who's his father?
You know who his father is? Well, let me tell you. Now, his father is the one, the only, the Lawrence Kasdan. Now, the people that don't know who Lawrence Kasdan is. Now, Lawrence Kasdan. Okay. He wrote Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and he directed Body Heat, The Big Chill, and a movie that we reviewed, our personal favorite, Silverado.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not, it's not too bad to come from a bloodline like that. And hey, it's funny. He's like, hey, Dad, I'm thinking about doing a movie. Do you know anyone who could play some of these cameos? And I was like, maybe I do. Let me call.
It's basically calling in all of your favorite uncles to help you with a school project.
Yeah. I'm sure he probably called Lily, and Lily was like, oh, your son's doing a movie? Oh, that's great. I got a day to, you know, do a scene. Why not? So, must be nice.
To have family connections like that.
Yes. Not too shabby. Now, this film came out January 11, 2002. Now, to do, I say it was the 80s, we'd do a tape rewind, but it's 2002, so we'd do like a disc skip to the next track since we're far out of tapes at this point. Now, as far as TV, what we were watching from 5 to 1, American Idol, of course, Tuesday nights. Number 4 was ER. Do you know? Okay. Do you remember this show, Joe Millionaire? I don't remember this.
Was it a reality TV show or was it an actual TV show?
Possibly a show? I don't know. Anyway, Joe Millionaire. Number two, Friends. And
I just Googled it. It was an American reality show that was on Fox. It started in the United Kingdom. But that's about
what was the plot?
The premise is a bachelor inherits $1 million and is in search of a potential bride.
Oh wow.
He takes a bunch of women on dates. Oh, I vaguely remember this.
Okay.
I think The Bachelor, but with a fake millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And so he takes a bunch of ladies on dates to find his new future wife. And then they find out he's not really a millionaire.
Oh, now it's slowly coming to me. Okay. So people were digging on that. All right. And number two, Friends, and CSI, number one. All right. So, Genoa. This is 2002. Okay. January. All right. So try to picture yourself in that moment in time, January 2002.
Done. 28, living in New York, working in a nightclub and an advertising agency. Done.
Now, what were you listening to? Do you remember what was like the big song in 2002? And it was a rock song. Well, I mean, I guess you would call it, right? Some people question this song as a rock song.
This was in the time of my life where I was basically intoxicated for multiple years in a row. I do not remember any specific music.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out the beginning of the lyrics. All right, well, I'm not going to even try. All right, so it was Nickelback.
Nickelback?
Yeah. Oh, this is how you remind me.
I've blocked all Nickelback music out of my mental state.
Couldn't make it as a blind man. Couldn't make it as a bald man staring.
And I'm
sorry. And okay, I will take all the hate emails because I remember those lyrics. I'll welcome it because I can't believe I remembered this song.
So I was definitely working at a hip hop club at this time. I don't think they were playing Nickelback at the Cheetah Club.
Well, I mean, they should have diversified the music and had some Nickelback in there.
Nickelbacks are better, but they weren't playing that.
Yeah, they're probably playing some P. Diddy. 2002. Sound like some. I think that was the year that, you know, Diddy was doing his thing. Right. Yeah.
Was it post Biggie and Tupac?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. P. Diddy was. What was the song that sampled? It wasn't The Police. Every Breath She Takes.
Yeah. The tribute song for Biggie.
Yeah. What year was that? 2001 or?
No, actually it was way before. I think that was, that was early. Was that like, I think that was 97.
No, I was in New York when I'll.
97, 98. Because Biggie, he died in the 90s.
Did he?
Yeah, him and Pac got murdered in the 90s. Yeah, 96, yeah, that's it. 96, 97, 96, yeah.
Okay, so in my mind, 96 to like 2008 are all one
the same year. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what you were jamming to. You had Nickelback in your CD Discman and on that A Train, listen to some How You Remind Me.
I'm very sorry if that's what you were listening to.
And people were going to theaters to see Orange County 2002.
Right. I'm pretty sure I did not see this in the movie theater.
I did not either. I do remember this film being an MTV production, or like MTV was like producing like movies, like major movies at the time, or one of the producers. It's like the Jackass movies and this and stuff like that. And
right, so I feel like it was right around that time where MTV was moving away from music videos to more scripted and production type things, reality TV shows, and really getting into the we're a production company versus just a music channel.
Yep. Correct. Yeah. And they wanted to expand their horizons. They say, you know, hey, we're tired of showing these videos. Let's see if we can do something else. And movies was the next thing. Yeah, because again with the Beavis and Butthead movie, I remember that. I definitely went to the movie to see that one. That was an MTV
production. Yeah, I did not see that at the movie theater, but I do remember having it on DVD and playing it in the kids section of the restaurant I worked at because we felt that that was kid appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was PG-13.
Yeah. It's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Kids should see it. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you know, it was no gore or anything. I mean, it was definitely suggestive language with Beavis and Butthead, but that was pretty much it.
Right. We also played all of the South Park stuff. In the kids section. I mean, you have college kids picking the cartoons. Of course, we're going to be playing South Park and Beavis and Butthead.
Like, oh yeah, see, yeah, they should watch this Mr. Hankey, the Christmas poo.
That one seemed to complain to management about it.
No, they were like, oh my God, like. I know the kids were happy because this is something our parents would never have me watch.
Yep. I'm going to have to go check in with my ex-Hyatt staff to see if you remember how people reacted to that.
Like, yay, more South Park, more Beavis. All right, so... What you chose this? So what made you? Of course, with the theme of college. Actually, I forgot all about this film until you brought it up. It's like, oh yeah, Orange County. I remember that movie. So what made you throw this one into the fold?
I don't think I had seen it since it was probably on MTV in probably 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
It had a good soundtrack. And I went back and watched it last week. And I feel like it still had a pretty good soundtrack, which makes sense because it was produced by MTV. Mm-hmm. In my mind, produced by MTV. But it had fun, good music that captured each of the different scenes. So I wanted to go listen to some fun music, and that's why I picked the movie.
Right on, right on. It honestly is one of those, if the soundtrack was good, the soundtrack is still gonna be, it's still great. It's gonna shift when you like rewatch it. If anything, the soundtrack will be better when you watch it, the second time around. And I'm glad you chose it so I could revisit the movie, because honestly, I think I've seen this maybe two times. Like,
Yes, agree. Maybe two or three times. Yeah. I mean, the soundtrack has like Offspring and the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Cake. Yeah, it has some fun music on it.
All those artists are fun and very Orange County centric, far as the soundscape of those artists.
Yes.
Because you're dealing with, you know, Orange County, surfing, suburbia. Yes, it definitely falls in place. Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I mean, the film pretty much starts off with the main character, the Colin Hanks character, finding this book on the sand, just randomly finding this book from this author that so happened to teach at Yale? Is it Yale or Harvard? Is it Yale? It's Yale, right?
Stanford.
Oops. Stanford. Yeah, up in the Bay. Yes. Yeah. And so it's like a montage of, you know, Colin. It's a voiceover we hear in a Colin, you know, kind of writing to this author who's a writing professor at Stanford, you know, how much this random book that he found in the sand, like just changed everything, changed his life and just totally shifted his trajectory to writing. And
basically he went from like a loser high school stoner to wanting to become a real writer, like his idol of this book that he's found on the beach.
Yeah. And so, you know, writing this letter and he's like, so convinced. He's like, he's feeling good about himself because he's like, hey, I sent this letter. He's going to see how much I love him and how much I want him to. I want to like be under, you know, his knowledge as far as like growing as a writer. And then he sent his letter and his application off to Stanford.
Right. And he only applied to one school because his guidance counselor told him, based on his transcripts and his SAT scores, that he is a shoo-in. There's no way he wouldn't get into Stanford because he was a good student and his SAT scores were something like 1590. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, maybe this is just my experience in high school and Colin Hanks's character's experience in high school, but you can't rely on guidance counselors because they can fuck shit up.
And what did she do? What did she do?
She sent in the stoner loser transcript of someone that was a total fuck up in the school that has a similar last name, whose SAT scores were 790 and his GPA was like 2.0 in under his name. So he didn't get into Stanford. But the stoner dude did because she sent him in as the smart kids. Yeah. Just a side note, my guidance counselor told all the women in my high school that they shouldn't go to college because they'd be better off being a housewife. So hopefully women guidance counselors like that are no longer in high schools.
Do you remember her name?
I'm not going to call anyone out.
So you can throw the finger up. I'm just saying, only for middle finger purposes.
Yeah. I mean, I think she told me I would never be more than a dancer. She told a lot of other people they'd never be more than housewives. So, you know.
Maybe it was reverse psychology to kind of tap into your rebellious, you know, energy. Like, wait a minute. No, I'm more than that. Forget you. And I mean,
I truly think that she was old school and believed that women should not go off to college.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, I mean, good thing we evolved from that way of thinking. I mean, for the most part, some areas don't haven't evolved from that. But anyway.
Right. So, yeah. to all of the little girls out there that should not be listening to this because of all the profanity, you can be whatever you want when you grow up.
Even a vice.
I'll tell you, you can't be that. Yeah.
You can even be a vice president. Boom.
Right. Or president one day.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Oh, yeah. Especially a president. All right. Yeah. So, yeah. So reeling it back to the Orange County. So Colin have a very interesting family dynamic, whereas his father and mother is divorced. He lived with his mother and brother.
Right. Who his mother married a wealthy man who's on the verge of dying.
Yeah. So think of like the Anna Nicole Smith situation.
Yes. And if you don't know who that is, Google it. His brother is played by Jack Black, who is like a sort of a high school dropout / stoner. Now, every time you see him on screen, he's in his tidy whities.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And either take a drug, smoking. He's like, you know.
Yeah.
He's like the Brad Pitt character in True Romance, except Jack Black character have more screen time and dialogue.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The stoner that's kind of just always on the couch, like don't know any concept of time or, you know. People, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah. So when the Colin Hayes character found out that the transcripts were switched and it wasn't him, he sets off with his, you know, his environmentalist girlfriend. She was so cute. I was like, oh, she's such a cute little ginger girl.
Yeah. His girlfriend, who I can't remember who plays her, is like the typical high school girlfriend that's just so supportive of her boyfriend. Everything he does or says or wants to achieve, she's just like, yes, honey, you can do that. I believe in you.
Yeah. You said it like that's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing to be super supportive. No, not at all. shit. Sorry, guys. For all the guys I've dated out there, sorry if I wasn't super supportive. I tend to be a realist.
It's like, yeah, you should be a housewife because what you try to do isn't cutting it.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe that's why I'm single. I'm a realist. Yeah. People come to me and they're like, I'm going to be this. I'm like, get real.
You know, you just the J.K. Simmons character from Whiplash of life. I mean, you just like, hey, it's not my tempo. You suck. You should stop doing this. Not my tempo. Right. Which is all good, you know. Yeah, you gotta have that person to splash that proverbial cold water on folks from now, yeah, you know, every now and then, you know.
Right. I just, you know, I want people to stay real about what they can achieve in their lives. When I see real inspiration, I try to lift them up. I don't want them to shoot beyond their capabilities.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is another Genoa tidbit.
Right. Keep it real.
Keep it real. Classic 90s statement. Keep it real.
I mean, I feel it is a very Gen X mentality of life. Yes.
Agreed. I yes. Yeah, that's how we came up. You know what I mean?
Yep. Also probably why I'm not a mentor to anyone.
That's the thing. That's why you should be a mentor to someone.
No, I would destroy the millennials and the Gen Z's positive attitude towards life if I did that to them.
See, but that's the thing. It's like kind of like disclaimer. It's like, hey, if I take you under my wings, I'm going to be the pioneer of mentorship. Like, I'm going to be like I'm going to be that Kung Fu master in Kill Bill that beats Uma Thurman's ass all the time to make sure she's a perfect weapon. Like, I'm going to be.
And four millennials will go Kill Bill.
Oh, Uma,
what are you talking about?
And that's when you drop kick them in the face. Oh, goodness. Oh, Lord. But anyway, so I get back. yeah, so pretty much second half of the movie is Colin and the girlfriend and his brother, Jack Black, going to Stanford to try to intercept the misunderstanding of the transcript. So ultimately, he can get into Stanford and get in the classroom with his favorite author slash, you know, wannabe, well, soon to be or longing to be mentor. Played by Kevin Kline, by the way, which is pretty cool.
Right. So you don't see that he's played by Kevin Kline until the very end, when he's on the Stanford campus and he has fucked up things with his girlfriend, and he sees in the distance his writer that he's been putting up on a pedestal, and he runs after him, and Kevin Kline turns around. You're like, yes!
Yes, Kevin Kline! His best movie, and we're going to review this eventually, in my opinion, is Soap Dish, but you know, that's just me. Yes.
Not A Fish Called Wanda?
No, Soap Dish. No, I got to give it to Soap Dish. I love Soap Dish so much.
I feel like we'll have to do a Kevin Kline week.
Yes.
Soap Dish, and Fish Called Wanda, and compare the Kevin Kline performance. Wait, no. What about the one where he plays the pizza dude? We're gonna do it Valentine's week with Keanu Reeves and River Phoenix.
Dang it! What's the name of that movie?
Death. I love you to death.
Yes, there we go. Yes.
I feel like we're gonna have to do an entire month of Kevin Kline.
Kevin Kline. Yes, exactly. I mean, we did Silverado, so I mean, but cool. Yeah, but speaking of Kevin Kline, he's in this film. Yeah, and like I said, kind of the Tex Avery Looney Tunes type calamity ensues the second half of the film once they actually get to Stanford. And most of said calamity is caused by Jack Black, his brother. And just kind of trying to, and the Colin Hayes character not only trying to come to grips with what he really wants, but actually the definition of what makes a successful writer. Is it success because you left your home, or is it because you are home and you keep drawing your inspiration to be a better writer? So he, in his mind, he was thinking like, hey, if I leave Orange County, I will be an amazing writer. And
because he believes that, you know, he was feeding into what society tells us, and that you can't be successful unless you go to a big college that is a successful college. You can't be successful unless you've gone to an Ivy League or a brand name college. And he believed he couldn't be a successful writer unless he went to a big name school like Stanford. And when he ran into the Kevin Kline character, his idol, he realized that what makes you a writer isn't where you go to college. It is your real world experiences. It is there's some people that it's not about what you're trained, it's what you experience and your life experiences that help you become that better person in life.
Exactly. Yeah. So it had a nice little message at the end. You know, it had some heart to it. It kind of brought a point home for you to, absorb and marry and simmer into, you know, well, the people who's applying to college, again, to Genoa's point. It has a nice little message about that, because sometimes you don't have to go to the far distance of the country. You could just be where you are and develop and grow as a person you want to be.
Yeah. Right. I mean, sometimes just going to the community college is enough to give you what you need to be successful for where you want to go. You can go to learn, maybe not get your bachelor's in something, go and learn to be a mechanic, a plumber, learn how to do plaster work. There are so many other things you can learn outside of college that you don't necessarily need to pay all of those dollars. And I don't think we should just fall into what society says you have to do to be successful.
All right. Because the professions that Genoa just mentioned will always be in demand. Always.
That's true. There is a waiting list for construction people in my neighborhood.
Wow, really?
Don't need a college degree for. Yeah.
And they get paid. Yes. I mean, just saying. I mean, you gotta get your hands dirty, but you get paid.
Exactly.
So reeling it into our ratings, which is, you know, as on couch, it's a good viewing. It's a great have a length of this movie that we're gonna reviewing is. You like it. Putting on shoes, contemplate going outside. You know, it's okay. There's a lot of hits. There's a lot of misses. It's like middle of the road, and completely going outside. Like, I will rather go outside because Corona is spiking. I will take my chances and go without a mask before I watch this film. All right, what do you give it?
I feel like it's putting my shoes on. Okay. I enjoyed it. Jack Black is fantastic in it. The part was actually written for him, so it makes sense that they like really captured his personality. It sort of surprised me when I saw Leslie Mann walk on screen. I forgot that she was in this. I was like, wait, what? Oh my God, she's so young looking. She plays a nice trophy wife in there. The music was great.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed listening to early 2000s beach music.
It sounds like you give it more positives than negatives.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but it's not a movie that I need to go watch again and again. So, you know, it's entertaining. I feel like everyone in the family can enjoy it, because especially if you have a dysfunctional family, because there's definitely lots of characters in the movie you can relate to. The mom and dad that divorce, that are trying to figure out their life, the brother, the girlfriend, school counselor, all the like high school kids they interact with. Yeah, I mean, maybe it is sit on the sofa.
It's okay. It's okay if it's an asshole sofa. It's okay. It's okay.
Okay, I'm changing it.
All right, cool. All right.
But it's not like a strong ass on the sofa.
Okay, yeah. So you kind of squat those. It's an ass squat. It's a squat.
I'm like, should I sit here? Should I go put on my shoes?
Yes. It's a squat also. All right. Well, okay. Rewatching it, I had to really kind of take myself out of the equation and really absorb and appreciate the characters, the area, because I'm not a big Orange County person, because I live in LA. Oh, yeah. See, and Heidi can agree with me. But because of the performances and, you know, the characters and kind of like the kookiness, and it had a heart to it and it had a message, and it was only like an hour and like 20. It wasn't even an hour and a half, like an hour and 28 or 25 or something like that. It's a super short movie. So it's not... Yeah, so it's not like you're going to be squirming around like, God, when is this over? It's a pretty short film. So I would definitely give it a, you know, answer. So if you haven't seen it, give it a look. It's definitely some good, humorous performances. I mean, my God, come on. You have Catherine O'Hara. You have John Lithgow. You have, you know, Chevy Chase. You have Lily Tomlin. Like, you're going to get some laughs throughout this film. So, yeah, I give it an answer. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice, positive escapism type movie that it's not going to make you think. It's not going to make you, yeah.
And another thing I like about this film, it pokes fun at the OC culture. Like, and I thought I really dug that. It really poked fun at it. And I dug that. Any movie that can poke fun at something without being, you know, mean, I can respect it.
Right. I mean, even to the point, I don't feel like the TV show, the OC, poked fun at the Orange County culture, but the song that's played in the credits of this movie, California,
sidebar. I'm not going to lie. When I moved to California... I played this song when I was in a plane. I don't care. Forget y'all. It was a good song. And it was perfect for my journey, damn it.
I think I was more along the lines of Tone Loke going back to Cali type of music, but okay.
Yeah, it's just at the end where he's yelling, "Here I come!" Like, yeah, damn it, here I come. but yeah, and going back to Cali, yes. I mean, it wasn't going back to Cali because I wasn't there in the first place. So the California "Here I Come" was more fitting for my journey moving to the West Coast.
Okay. I'll give you that. Yeah.
So there you have it, guys. Orange County. If it's one of those films that you totally forgot about and like overlooked, give it a look. It's fun. It's a fun hour. It's not even an hour and a half of laughs. You'll enjoy. What is it on? Is it on anything? Or
You can rent it on Amazon Prime right now. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a good $4. How much they rent these for? Like $3, $4?
$2.99.
Come on, that's a cup of coffee. Just watch the movie. Just go ahead and rent it. It's fine. All right, guys, until Thursday. And I think you guys are gonna have fun with the Thursday throwback. We wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear a mask.
Yes. And oh, sorry, sidebar. Rest in peace to Sean Connery and the great, 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 great Alex Trebek. Peace.